Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So back in October last year, we hosted a couples retreat for Canopy and Stars, and we watched this wonderful group of couples reconnect with themselves, and
we were jealous.
Very jealous, and we wanted that, some of that too.
And so Canopy and Stars sent us off to go and reconnect with our partners separately, so it wasn't a double date.
Yeah, quite.
We went with our partners and went and had our own reconnecting experience. And we designed an exercise that we could do and then to report back and then do a podcast on it.
So here we are.
So if you haven't checked out Canopy and Stars before, oh my God, they are just so amazing. Go to canopyandstars.co.uk and feast your eyes on the places you can stay. So the whole idea is that they carefully select places that are in the great outdoors. You get the natural being in the lap of nature experience, but also luxury. So it's really about glamping. You can stay in tree houses, which I did. Oh my God, has always been a dream. You can stay in yurts. You can stay in,
luxury cabins, lake houses.
And not just in the UK, but Europe. But I just think, it's just opened my eyes to the kinds of, rather than city breaks in the European country, which I also never do, that actually you can just stay in the UK and go to, just get out in nature.
Yeah.
Oh, so where did you go, Vicky?
Oh, just you talking about it's really taking me back. Oh, I already feel that sense of stillness and calm descend upon me once more. So I stayed at a magical place called Ditchling Cabin. I call it the Lake House. It's not its official name, but it has this private lake and it's just, oh my God, so dreamy. And it's in Sussex. And I had such a wonderful experience from start to finish, was totally looked after by Paul at Ditchling Cabin and Canopy and Stars. And it was just exactly what I needed. I really needed that break. And also just to have that opportunity to spend quality time with Pav and Buddy, my dog.
Did you go with Buddy?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Buddy had gone with you.
Yeah.
So I went with my partner, Fons, to Harptree Court, the treehouse at Harptree Court. It is just the most beautifully built treehouse. Real luxury. Literally, it just sits in the lap of this enormous tree and surrounded by just beautiful green foliage with the most incredible copper bath that is surrounded by windows looking out at leaves. I think it's my new happy place. And what I realized as we were heading down there, or a few days before we went down there, was it is the first time that Fons and I have ever been away, just the two of us. So for those of you who know the story, I got pregnant very early on in our relationship, 4 months in. And so we hadn't been on a holiday yet. So since then, we went on a holiday when I was pregnant, but you know, I had a baby in my belly, so we weren't exactly alone. And then from then on, it's either been with Sammy or it's been friends or with family. So to our slight horror, we realized this was the first time we were ever going to have been away together. But there's something so amazing about the Canopy and Stars locations because they really do lend so well to reconnecting. And there's that rewilding element because you're out in nature. And that's what we were talking to the Canopy and Stars team when we did the first couples retreat, was whether you're a couple, whether you're with a friend, whether you're on your own, these places, because they have that combination of being in nature, being so well looked after, and every detail, they really choose their place. I'm really plugging them, but I genuinely love them. Every detail is so thought about and beautifully designed that the combination of those things just really lends itself so well to being able to just sink into real simple pleasures, step away from everything else that is going on. And nature is such a healing place anyway, that, I think it's definitely something that we're going to do more of as a couple, but also with friends, I just think, and just for myself, just getting out in nature like that is so important. When we were actually researching for, we did an article for Canopy and Stars for the first relationship retreat, and we wrote an article about rewilding your relationship. And researching about it, there's this nature deficit that most of us experience, those of us in living in cities and towns. And when you think about it, they were saying, you know, we've had thousands of years of living out in nature, and only recently have we started to live in cities and towns and not in nature. So of course we miss it. Of course there's something in our cells that is like, when you get back into nature, you're like, oh, here I am, here we are, here life is. You can become so present. And I think putting a relationship within that context and then giving yourself space to actually talk about how your relationship is and talk about a few questions that look at what's going on for you is just the perfect combination. And it really made such a difference to our relationship. Like, it was just what we needed. We hadn't realized how much we were struggling, just because of all the stresses of life at the moment we've got going on, how much that had been impacting on us, how we were communicating, how we were feeling about one another. We had blazing row for 2 hours driving there. Like, it really kicked off. And afterwards, we admitted, we were like, we were not in a good place. We really needed that. And it's been so good ever since. So I think, yeah, we need to go away together more often. But I think particularly in nature, in places, the kinds of places that Canopy and Stars offer, because I just think in themselves, those places are, yeah, just create the perfect ingredients to be able to do that.
Yeah. So it took me quite a number of hours to really arrive there. So as soon as I got there, I was like, oh my God, that breath of fresh air and just being in this amazing surroundings where you've got this lake house retreat and private lake, and you've got two floors. You've got this ground floor that's so cozy and like the most amazing big sofas and blankets and a fire. And then upstairs, you've got the bedroom that overlooks the lake. So it's all windows on one side and the bath in the bedroom.
Oh, God, the bath in the bedroom.
That overlooks the lake. And as soon as I arrived, I was like, oh, my God, amazing. So we had a few logistics things to do. And so Pav went out and got some bits and bobs from Waitrose, got all our food for the couple of days that we were staying there. And it's one of those things, and I've experienced this on holiday as well, like the first day that you really arrive somewhere, it takes a while to really land. And then I had this anxiety about relaxing, which was really interesting to witness. And I know I've been there before, I've experienced this before. And so I was just, yeah, I had this mixture of emotions of being relief, like, we're here, now we can just relax. And then it's like, oh, how do I really like allow myself to land here and arrive here? And so it took a few hours to reset, and I'd been working in the morning. So just to kind of take off that work hat, had a bath. And then within a few hours, and we were then cooking dinner and things like that, I was really there. And it's just, it was really interesting to see that, of how I think we sometimes in our busy lives, we get so used to this feeling of sometimes just light anxiety that's whirring away in the background, and this kind of teetering on overwhelm at times. Well, it's not until you get out into nature that you really realize that I think you just normalize it so much. Yeah. Because everybody's really, they share that experience, you know, it was really interesting to witness that.
I think it's really common. I think that unplugging thing, we all want it. We find it so hard.
Yeah.
Certainly I do. And I think that because you can get so caught up, or I can get so caught up on my to-do list and what's next, what's next, what's next. It's like that adrenaline, like, okay, you know, constantly on.
Yeah.
That even though you want to rest and relax, when you're first confronted with that, there isn't a what's next. What's next is maybe have a bath, maybe read a book, maybe just gaze out the window. Yes. It's just like, oh, this is very uncomfortable for me, because I'm so used to just overriding that desire to stop, because I'm like, you know, addicted to my to-do list, that I think I think that's really common.
Yeah.
That anxiety.
Yeah.
I think we just jumped in the bath. We were like, oh my God, there's a cup of bath in the bedroom overlooking leaves. Let's go. But yeah, I know what you mean about that, the anxiety. I was listening to a podcast the other day where someone was talking about that, and he was like a kind of mindfulness expert. So he's all about switching off, calming the mind. And he said every time he goes away to the mountains, he knows he wants it, but on the drive up there, he gets really anxious, knowing that he's going to have to stop. And it's so interesting, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's why, though, nature is so powerful, because you can always be engaged. If you're looking at the leaves and the plants, there's so much complexity around you and so much to look at and watch and observe and sounds to hear, that it's the perfect ingredients to be both engaged, but to be relaxed, because you're never overstimulated in nature, but you can always be stimulated. And actually, I've been listening to a lot to The Secret Life of Trees, which is just amazing. And so being in a tree surrounded by woodland, natural woodland, listening to The Secret Life of Trees, I was just like, oh God, it's so good.
I think it made me realize that when I could become present with myself and cultivate this self-intimacy that isn't easy to naturally cultivate, it's something that really takes effort for me. And I woke up in the morning and just hearing the birds tweeting and chirping, and the lake was just right there, and the stillness and tranquility. And I just woke up, had a cup of tea, and just watched for about half an hour, just watched some ducks in the lake and just observing the sounds. And I signed up to this course on Insight Timer called Coming Home to Yourself, and it was the most... it was so apt, you know, that phrase, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And it was so exactly what I needed. And it reminded me that place of home is always there. I don't need to go to a lake house retreat to experience it. It helps. It definitely helps. But it was a good reminder for me to really cultivate that stillness at home and find ways to do that.
Is it an app? What is it you were doing?
Yeah, it's an app called Insight Timer, and it's got like thousands and thousands of free meditations, but they do these courses, and when you subscribe, you can do any of the courses on there. And one of them's called Coming Home to Yourself. And I've started doing it, a 10-day meditation course. I think I'm on day 6. And it's amazing. It's really helping me to create those mini moments of that stillness that I really experienced there, because I know it's hard to, you know, when you live in a city like London, to really experience that. You need to go away, you know. Yeah. I think every few months is probably ideal, to go away and be in nature and come back. But yeah, just for me to it was a way for me to kind of pepper those moments for me in the day. So I started doing that since I got back. It reminded me of it made me think about intimacy, a broader theme of intimacy. And like, when I cultivate this self-intimacy, it helps me to then cultivate intimacy in my relationships.
Yes.
And so often what you think is actually the problem in a relationship is not really the problem itself. It's the fact that maybe you're just very busy and you've got your own internal struggles and you're not maybe voicing them. And this is something that I realized in talking with Pav and having a very honest chat, that he's got his things going on and I've got my things going on. And if we're not communicating or connecting, I make my own meaning around that, and then he might make his own meaning around that. But it's never what we actually think. Like, sometimes my most primitive fear is triggered, that, you know, a fear of abandonment, a fear of rejection, fear of being unloved. And when we really talked about it, I realized that there was stuff going on for me that was very disproportionate to what we were actually experiencing as a couple. And so it was a big reminder for me to cultivate my own self-intimacy and keep that going, and not expect it to come just from the relationship. It's, I have to show up and be present as well if I want to have that connection and intimacy in the relationship as well.
So let's go to the questions that we asked ourselves and our partners. So we designed this, obviously with this Canopy and Stars trip in mind, but it's something that you can use at any time, really, set aside an evening when you go on holiday together, go away together. So we kept it really simple. It doesn't go too deep, although interestingly for both of us, the conversations did go deep. But it's really something, we wanted to design something that our partners aren't massively into self-help. They're not suggesting we answer questions like this on a regular, ever. So we wanted it to be, because usually that does happen. You've got one person in a relationship who's like, oh, let's do these, you know, questions. The other one's like, oh God, what? So we wanted to make it, you know, not too intimidating. So you can actually go, if you go to loveprojectlove.com/couples-check-in, you can go and download the questions. So we had decided on the Saturday, right, we're going to sit down this afternoon and do it. And so first of all, you sit down and you write down your answers to the questions, and then you share it with one another. And it was so interesting because Fons was like, I hope this is, as we were going, I said, I hope this isn't going to be like some therapy weekend. And I was like, it's honestly, we've designed it to be really simple. It doesn't go too deep. But ironically, he was the one who really used it as an opportunity to put his grievances out on the table. And I think even, I don't think, I know, even as we were designing these questions, that I was wanting us to create kind of a guideline for him, a toolkit of how to love me and how to give me what I needed in terms of affection and daily love. So if you've listened to our podcast on attachment theory, where Vicky interviews Helen Dent, what a fascinating podcast. Oh my God. I mean, so many people have listened to that multiple times. So I'm very much an attachment, anxious attachment, and Fons is definitely avoidant attachment. So I was just wanting us to basically create guidelines on how he could give me more affection, what I need on a daily basis. I wasn't feeling like I was getting it. What is so interesting is actually having really talked through stuff and both of us putting our grievances out on the table, as well as things like, what do I need, you know, what can you do to make me feel love? Like, how do I feel love? And questions like that, is that actually having really talk through stuff from a calm, loving space rather than in the heat of an argument, is that we're able to talk about things, understand one another better. And it just, you said it to me before we started this podcast, it just cleared the air in a way that totally changed things. It got us back to connected with one another, accepting one another, understanding one another. And so suddenly this jar of this guideline of how you need to be showing me love and affection every day, actually we haven't needed it, because what we really needed was to clear the air and reconnect and heal some wounds that had opened up, I think, from just often my constant knee-jerk reaction to blame, find someone to blame when I'm stressed, and so it's always him. And he was just, yeah, getting fed up with that and just clearing the air on all these sorts of things and acknowledging our imperfections, you might say. And it was just, yeah, it was just, I'm actually quite surprised at how powerful it was. And it's been, what, a month or so since I went, I think, how that has kept going. It has sustained. And so I just think actually that clearing the air. And so this check-in that we've designed is something, particularly the first part of it, is something that Fons and I do anyway, now and again, as we just do this simple check-in. It's the same check-in that we do for Sister Circles that comes from Nisha Moodley's three questions that you ask. But just doing that on a more regular basis, I now realize, is really key to the health of our relationship and us being connected and for that love to flow. And just like you say, clearing the air. Yeah, I just hadn't realized how important that was.
Yeah, I had the same experience. And it's one of those things that I know the importance of communication and catching things early and not letting things fester and not letting things build up so that you feel that resentment. And it's just a constant reminder of the importance of that, the importance of us checking in and communicating. And I just felt so much more connected, and we felt closer together coming back. And we're still feeling that as well a month later. And I think it just in being aware of each other's pain points, it has just helped us to get to that place of deeper understanding and compassion with each other.
Mm.
And then it just helps if something then arises, something small, and we're able to address it in that moment and to just keep that going. In an ideal world, you would. It doesn't always happen that way, but I definitely now have an intention of catching things earlier. And I think we're really good at catching things and, you know, issues, little niggles, little challenges that come up, and really approaching it with humor and a lightness in spirit. But if they build up and build up and build up, and, you know, a few weeks later, that I lose that sense of humor around things, and those niggles don't feel like niggles anymore. They feel like much bigger issues. And so it's a real lesson for me to just keep that going. And we've been really good at that over the last month since we've been back. Just like that humor's come back again, that lightness has come back again. And I want to keep that up.
Yeah. I think what had happened with us, that a few things had happened that had created a bit of a rift between us. And so because we weren't dealing with it, it was just then there between us, like hanging, so that we couldn't actually connect, because there was this, now we'd caused this rift and we hadn't actually sat down and resolved it. So when we did sit down and once had quite a few grievances about the way I had been behaving. And so I did, but it was great, because I was a lot of it is around my tendency to blame. I know where it comes from. I can have compassion with myself and be like, and I know it. Like I know I do that. It's not something that, I want to keep cultivating. It doesn't help in relationships. Not a nice thing to do. But acknowledging that, and then what's happened since then is that we've caught it. I've still done it once or twice, but it's so rare now that when I've done it, he's turned around going, about that call you just made earlier, was that you trying to blame me for what had happened? I was like, oh God, yes, sorry. Yes, it was. Whereas before it had become such a thing, and then he had got upset about it and we hadn't resolved it. They had become this big thing. So not only had we acknowledged it, but also now we're far more aware of it. Both of us. So when it does happen, it's like it's caught by either one of us. And now we've had a whole conversation around it. It's much easier for him to go, you're doing that. And I'm like, oh God, okay, yeah, fine. Sorry. And then it's dropped and then we move on. So it's actually given us a new insight into, I don't know, one of my quirks. Let's call it that. And that is, you know, relationships, that's where you're just the yucky sides are seen more than in anything else. And so being able to be okay with that, and also for him to be also like, okay, well, that's something that you do. This is the impact of it. If you could not do that anymore, that would be great. It doesn't mean I'm never going to do it, because it's so ingrained in me. Over time, I will definitely do it less, but it certainly means now when I do it, it's caught. So we're both on the same team now of going, that's not, let's not have that happening. And when it does, that's okay, but both acknowledge it. Selena, apologize.
Yeah.
And then move on.
Yeah.
And that alone has made such a big difference, because we're going through a stressful time with our house situation, and when in stressful times I look for people to blame, and it's Fonz. It's really important that we had that conversation and had that realization and now know how to manage it, basically. And I'm doing it much less, because I can also catch myself. So most of the time I'm like having a word with myself, but when it suddenly comes out, we know how to stop it.
I think it's the magic of having a space where you can just get things off your chest, and also where you both know that you're going to be available for the conversation.
Yeah.
And there's that signposting around it, because these are the conversations that probably won't just come up in everyday life. You need to create that space for them to happen, especially if your partner isn't particularly comfortable with having these chats, you know, very frequently. And, you know, generally speaking, women tend to be, tend to find them easier to have anyway. And so it's for both parties to understand that this is a space where we can both show up fully and just have that honest conversation and to invite in that shared vulnerability. Mm. We know that these conversations can be uncomfortable. And I actually was uncomfortable at the beginning of the exercise, which really surprised me. And it shows that I think it shows that, you know, they're not conversations, even just a check-in in the relationship, you know, it doesn't feel particularly comfortable to have them because we don't have them very often, as often as we would want to. And so I think it's the beauty of doing something like this is that you both know that we're going to have that conversation and we're going to be uncomfortable for a bit. But that's part of the process. Yeah. And that's normal, and not to run away from that. And then knowing that once you have them, it's so liberating coming out the other side, that connection and feeling even closer together. And so I think the more that you have those, the more that you realize, oh, well, last time we were a bit uncomfortable, but it was great in the end.
Yes.
And to keep having them.
Exactly. And then actually you'll probably start looking forward to them over time. What was so interesting is that I went into it really feeling like I wasn't getting what I needed in terms of affection at the moment in the relationship. And so I did really stand up for my needs. I was just like, because Fons was sort of saying, I just think it's just, you just, you know, why do you need this constant reassurance? I was like, look, you've got to remember that we have very different levels of the way we experience love, or what we need to be shown that we love. It's different. And, you know, he's an introvert and I'm an extrovert. I need to talk about stuff. I need to be, you know, I love to have cuddles and kisses. I like to hear all the time how much I'm loved. And so I felt going into it that I really needed that to be heard. And he did really hear it. He didn't really get it, but he did know. He really heard it. But what was so interesting was then after, you know, standing up for my needs and this is what I need, and him being, okay, having a bit of a negotiation of how this would work, it turns out that once we'd had that reconnection and heard one another talk about how we really felt, I didn't need that. So we went away ready to like implement this, you know, once a week he would put his hand in a jar and take out something and, you know, give it to me, or three times a week. I was going to do one for him once a week because he didn't want more than that. And I was like, three times a week for me, please. He's like, okay. First I was like, every day. He's like, come on. And I was like, okay, three times a week. He's done one thing once. And since then I haven't needed it. I would say something if I did. I'd be like, hey, put your hand in the jar, pull something out. But actually, now that we're feeling much more connected, I don't need that reassurance. He was kind of right. It's a bit annoying. I don't want him to hear that part of the podcast.
Did you just say he was right?
But I think that being able to voice my needs and have them heard, and for him to understand that we are just very different in terms of what we need, and that's okay. But then, I actually haven't needed it. So there you go. What we really needed was just that reconnection, clearing the air, really expressing how we felt about the difficult stuff and being heard by our partner. And Bob's your uncle.
Hey, presto.
Hey, presto.
So basically what we're saying is it's a good idea to go away, reconnect with your partners or your loved ones, and to create the space, jokes aside, to create the space to have an honest conversation where you're able to get things off your chest in a loving, supportive environment.
Yeah.
And to have them regularly. And even better is if you can have them in nature, where you're fully supported in every way to reconnect with yourself as well.
Yeah.
And as we said at the beginning, we are such big fans of Canopy and Stars for what they offer and how they create the right conditions for that to happen.
Yeah. So go and check them out, canopyandstars.co.uk, and go and download your couples check-in over at loveproductlove.com/couples-check-in. And let us know, give it a try. We'd really like to hear how you found doing that check-in with your partner. So whether you go off for a Canopy and Stars retreat or go out for dinner or just have an hour at home to do it with one another, we'd love to hear how you got on.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.